The incident in Chinatown changed everything for Bob Lamphere. Without warning, it had come down in an instant to this: gun drawn, an angry crowd pressing in on him, and his target fixed in his sights. A volley of enraged, keening voices rose up behind him, but Bob pushed all the noise out of his mind. His focus narrowed, and his finger increased its pressure on the steel trigger. He was ready, his mind set, to fire. Until that moment in the winter of 1944, Bob had been convinced that the FBI didn't offer him what he wanted from the world. Its sensibility grated with all those rigid regulations. A tow rope missing from a government tugboat generated as much paperwork as a murder investigation, he complained, with the powerful insistence on an even more intrusive personal conformity. The required snap-brim hats and starched white shirts, the regulation bureau briefcase. This wasn't for him. He'd put in another year or two, he thought, until the war ended, and then there'd be plenty of opportunities for an ambitious young man with a law degree. And, as he knew only too well, the bureau, for that matter, was disenchanted with him. Hoover favored straight arrows, and Bob was having a hard time playing that role. There'd be no protests when he moved on. His departure would be dismissed, if anything was said at all, as part of the normal attrition. It hadn't always been like that. When Bob, just 23, had joined the FBI back in September 1941, he'd been gung-ho, energized by the wistful notion that once his probationary period was over, he'd be in the front line of an elite group of derring-do lawmen, continuing in the great tradition of the Tommy gun-toting G-men who'd relentlessly chased down John Dillinger. Fawning newspaper reports regularly proclaimed that the FBI were the best that law enforcement had to offer, and Bob, who had no small sense of pride, was certain that was where he belonged. And, another vanity, he was confident he looked the part. Square-jawed, broad-shouldered, thick black hair with a precise part, and, not least, deep brown eyes that would routinely hold a person with a gaze as steady as a marksman's. He wasn't a big man, maybe a tad over 5'10" if he made an effort to stand erect, a trim welterweight, but he had a presence. Handsome in an even-featured, all-American way, a man's man, someone you just knew at a glance had grown up fishing in mountain streams and hunting deer in deep woods. Yet while that was true, Bob nevertheless hadn't had much of a childhood. He'd been raised in Mullen, Idaho, a small, hardscrabble mining town plunked down in a high canyon overshadowed by the formidable Coeur d'Alene Mountains. His father, a no-nonsense disciplinarian with a quick temper, was what people in those parts knew as a leaser. The way Joe Lamphere had it figured, it made more sense to lease a mine and hire hands to work for him than to have to answer to some know-it-all mine owner. Besides, each time he'd signed on for work in one of the big silver mines, it was never long before he went off on a tear about one thing or another to the shift boss. The man in charge would respond by muttering something dismissive and often crude, Joe would let loose with an angry punch, and the next thing Joe knew, he'd be given his walking papers. Running things himself, then, made a lot more sense, although the economics of it were often precarious. In contrast to her husband's fitful rages, Lily Lamphere was a preternaturally calm, almost taciturn presence, as seemingly bland and unassuming as the flat Minnesota country near the banks of the Leaf River where she'd been raised. Or, perhaps as some relatives speculated, her seeming withdrawal from family life, if not the world, was simply a defense against Joe's pugnacious bluster. When she wasn't cooking, she'd be deep into some book. She'd run the post office in quiet Trout Lake, Minnesota. There were more fish in the lake than people in the town, the locals were fond of saying, for several years when they'd first been married, and had taken to spending the vacant hours escaping into whatever book she could find. Lily had a fondness for Jane Austen, but the Bible was her favorite. You could turn to any page and learn something, she liked to say.